Hey, it's Sean.
Hey, it's Brie.
And this is I Can Explain,
the podcast where we answer the questions that you are too afraid to ask.
That Brie had a lot of pep in it.
You know, I'm just a little peppy today.
Pep in your step.
Yeah.
And this week's topic is first loves.
Oh.
Sounds like first loves.
Yeah, exactly. Rage, yeah. And sadness and heartbreak.
Yeah.
Sean's like, we haven't talked about this before, have we? I'm like, well, we've probably talked about our first loves a lot, but I don't think we've ever had it as a topic.
The reason that I want to talk about it is because I had like a long conversation drunk at a cabin about it with friends.
Those are the best conversations, like cabin, like summer conversations where you just get there.
Literally.
Like you go that.
I was like, I've talked to you like twice before. Tell me about your trauma.
Literally.
As we're on a dock.
Like. Oh my God. Me, every time I take like one hit of a joint,
yeah.
I'm like, we're going deep the tonight, best part folks.
Is, it was literally me and my two friends. We were drunk in the lake on a floating dock that had a diving board and a water slide.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would literally be like bumping around, drinking our drinks. And then we thought it was also really funny that weekend to pretend that we were like kids looking for games on our phones.
Right.
So in the middle of this, one of us would jump in and like swim up the other person's foot and be like, do you have games in your phone?
I love that.
Yeah.
I love your summer adventures so far.
It's been great.
You've been like such a summery boy.
I know.
Just summering it up.
Summer.
I know. Usually you're like, you're a fall bitch. And then this summer you've just been like the face of summer.
I know.
Summer 2023.
And what a face it is.
Wow. You even have a bit of a tan going.
Yeah, my back's even
Which
healing.
For you is like.
I'm going to have a tan next weekend because I'm going to be faking baking.
Oh, for the wedding?
No, for the Barbie party.
Oh, the priorities.
But probably the actually no, I don't want to fake tan for the wedding because it's in Nova Scotia. It's gonna be 100% humidity. I'm gonna be sweating out the asshole.
Oh my God.
And if I have any sort of fake tan, it's gonna literally tie-dye my entire outfit.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? That would be so brutal.
I told my sister, I was like, I love you, but you are an awful bitch because this is my worst nightmare.
It's during Pride, it's in the heat of the summer, and
the heat is one
Nova
thing.
Scotia.
It's not gonna be that hot because it's Nova Scotia. She was like, oh, it's gonna be like mid-20s okay. probably. Humidity.
Nice. Oh.
In a suit.
Oh yeah.
You need to be in your little flowy dress.
Oh nice. Maybe
twirl.
You should just show up in a flowy dress.
I'm gonna have my cooter out.
Oh my God. Ban gays from weddings.
Absolutely.
So before we get started, make sure to follow, subscribe wherever you're listening. We are, how many episodes have we done? Like over 200 episodes?
Too many.
It's actually fucking insane. No. So if you are new here, there's plenty more to go listen to. And
go. Get in before it ends because we should be stopped.
We should, honestly. Speaking of cancellations. First loves.
First loves.
Yeah.
So yes, I was talking drunk on a dock about first loves recently. And I think it's a very interesting conversation.
Yeah.
And I think everybody talks about previous relationships. And honestly, some people might not feel the way that me and potentially you feel about first loves, but some people might. So if this resonates with people, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But we were basically talking that first loves essentially set you up for life in a good or bad way. And obviously with everything, you can adjust that. You can go to therapy. You can talk to your friends. Like you can change the trajectory.
Yes.
However, I think first love set you up in a way that you either don't have to try to change a trajectory or you are like fighting against it actively.
Yes.
And I would say that I fit into the latter category, that I think that my first love set me up for failure with relationships from that on.
Oh no.
So, well, I don't know.
I feel like I'm on a dock with you right now.
A dock?
At a cabin.
Rock this shit?
If you could rock a little bit. If we could take like a few little sips of beer first.
Sure can. It was more than a few. I'll tell you that much. No, but it's just interesting because I feel like a first relationship can go one of two ways, or how you leave it can go one of two.
Right.
Well, I guess it can go multiple ways. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I feel like relationships can either end like amicably for both parties, or there's some sort of like battle going on, which for the most part, I know things aren't black and white, cut and dry. But for the most part, there is usually like, if something goes down, there is somebody that did the something that went down. Yeah. And there is the person that has the thing gone down to them.
Yeah.
Sure. You know what I fucking mean. You know what I fucking
they
mean.
They had it done to them. The yeah. going down.
Which... Exactly.
We're clear. We're
it's so clearly
it's
put.
Crystal
See,
clear.
You were just maintaining that you were
yeah.
clear on that.
Yeah.
So I would say in my first love,
yeah,
I was on the receiving end of the going down.
The getting the going down done to them.
Beautiful.
It's just beautiful. So clear. It's like, so you know, it's just so concise and like everyone listening just knows exactly. Yeah.
So like in my first
people
love,
listening are like, you know what? I relate to that. I do also get the going down to me.
They're writing down yeah. quotes, yeah. sending it to a tattoo artist. I need this so badly.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Speaking of quotes, do you see that thing that somebody posted in our Discord?
No.
That they had changed their signs at work to be things that I had said.
What? That's iconic. Oh, we need to share that on Instagram.
I'll share it on Instagram. And they changed their signs and it was like, no, no less, do more was one of the signs. And the other sign was, you're going to be dust soon.
Which, this person's iconic.
Literally. Which like, I don't think I've ever had an original thought, but I think maybe the you're going to be dust soon is like the only original maybe somebody else said it and no. I clung to it, but I just really feel like that's the
you
Sean quote.
That's you
are gonna be I,
well we need to add a sign to their workplace that is I'm the person who has the going down done to them.
I don't know if that'll fit on the sign. They're gonna have to order the
like a
jumbo
little name
sign.
A little name tag.
Yeah, I was hi my name is the one who had the going down done. So anyways, in my first love there You see first loves with rose-colored glasses while yeah. you're in it. Then when you leave it, you're like, that was probably fucked up. But
yeah.
you let a lot of things slide because it was your first love. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily have personal boundaries.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have a backbone.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily have prior traumas from relationships yeah. to battle with.
Yeah.
But mine ended with like my partner, I would say cheating, they might not.
Right.
Talking to other people behind my back, which I found out because they left their Facebook open on my computer. Still have never had that conversation with them. Things
yeah.
like that. So from this day on, I don't really trust people. Like it's
yeah.
always in the back of my mind. And I think because of that, compared to my other friends that we were talking about, I like don't fall hard for people.
Yes.
And I think you could probably trace a good amount of that back to my first love and
yeah.
the response that I had to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just find it very interesting because when you're having this conversation, there's obviously a flip side to that.
Right.
That this, I don't know if I was their first love, I'm being presumptuous, but I assume I am.
Duh.
I think
I'm everyone's first love.
That's what I was going to say. I think I'm the fucking cashier at the grocery store.
I'm so delusional that every single person that I meet,
yeah.
I'm like, I just changed their life.
I'm
I
like,
think.
I cannot believe they just met me.
They're so lucky. They're
lucky
so lucky
They're so
to have
lucky.
Met me.
So
yeah.
lucky. But I do think that it's interesting that on the flip side, somebody would probably leave a relationship like this feeling like they had such like a good first love because they did things to someone.
Right.
And I think that is so interesting.
Yes.
Like obviously a relationship can end amicably and that's a whole separate
yeah.
situation.
Okay.
But I think it's fucking wild that if something goes down, you leave that fork in the road
yeah.
feeling one of two ways
yeah.
and relating to the people that you start dating
because
of that forever. Is that not wild?
It is. It is wild.
It's crazy.
It is wild.
Yeah.
I just think that maybe in some ways, maybe I'm that delusional person.
That you fucked somebody over and now
possibly.
You're having great relationships because of it, because you feel hope and joy and the promise of love, but you've left people just shells, untrusting of anybody. Is that how you feel?
Well, when you put it that way, no, I just first of all think I'm in my mind.
Tell me.
In my mind, first of all,
yeah,
I feel like I'm so delusional that
That's not every, in your mind. That's reality.
That's reality. But every person I've ever dated or hooked up with, I think that I am the one that got away from them. Right? Like, because I'm like, here's the context is that they've all cheated on me.
Right.
So maybe it's like a self-preservation thing that I like to think that they regret it and that I'm the one that got away. Mm. You know what I mean? Because it's like it makes the burn easier that every single person has fucked me over.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if I, in my mind, perceive that now through growth, they've realized that they're a terrible person and that I am the best person and they really, I'm the one that got away. It lets me sleep at night.
Yeah.
But I also think on the flip side, if we're thinking, am I the villain in anyone's story? I think it would be ignorant to think that I'm not, because everyone has a different perception of what went down.
Oh, I think I'm the villain in some people's story.
Yeah.
Maybe just not the first. I guarantee my first love. There's no way that fucker can spin that I'm the enemy.
Okay, well, hold on. We've talked about this before, but I'm going to reiterate it. Remember how I told the story of I consider this person my first true love. What
they were telling.
Yes.
But I think that's...
I don't know. I don't know. The poor listeners. They're like, can you guys get a fucking thought out? We've talked to each other for too long that we can just understand what each other's saying. We just said no words.
Not a single word. And we both knew exactly what? We had made it all the way down.
All the way to the story. The story's done. We don't need to tell it. Everyone's gathered all the information.
Touchdown. I got it. We've got
we were literally like, I was like, then there's a person like, yeah, but then they but they thought you meant yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Should listeners, we spell it out?
Do you understand now?
Okay. I'll give the breakdown.
Okay, love this.
Brie talked to friend of first love gave entirely different rendition of story from first love. So Brie says, is this the story that is being told? But I think in that situation, it was self-preservation by first love, so they don't seem like an absolute fucking twat.
But they... See, this is where it's hard, though, because if you knew my first love in the same way that I think you potentially speak of yours, you would know that I think they potentially have the narcissistic ability to actually also believe it themselves.
That is because, danger.
Okay.
Maybe we should change this to dating narcissists, because mine was, too.
Honestly, I don't know if they are for sure, but based on my thorough TikTok research.
Yes.
My scientific TikTok research.
My degree in TikTok research. TikTok.
I think they were.
I know mine was.
So,
and still is.
For people
actively
curious and don't want to go back and find the episode, basically, my ex and I broke up because they cheated on me continuously with their ex and lied about it over and over again, including cheating on me in the same club on Valentine's Day with their ex. That's my side of the story.
Yeah.
Their side of the story is that they got a haircut. I didn't like it, so I left them.
Which did happen.
The haircut happened. Yeah. I liked it, though.
Yeah.
So much so, I said this on the other episode, there's a video on my Instagram. I think I've now taken it down since that episode because I had a bunch of people start going and commenting. I'll go check, stick it back up, some people scroll right back to the front. Where I'm recording them getting their hair cut, cheering them on, loving it. I was there.
I'm going to break
I was
up with
part
you.
Of it. Imagine my caption. Yeah. Unfortunately, after this haircut, we did break up.
Yes.
But so it was so fascinating to hear this from a third party because I was like, is that their truth?
Yeah.
Like, do they genuinely believe that I am the villain in this tale of first loveness? Potentially.
I feel like there's probably some way that this person has spun that I'm the villain. But mine was literally like, long distance dated somebody, flew across the country to live with this person with the understanding that we would come back to this home when they were finished their schooling. They, while we were long distance, hooked up with people. Then when we were over there, I panicked and I was like, I don't know if I can do this. In the day of me panicking, they
The camera just shut off.
Camera died. In the day of me panicking, when we were like, I guess, broken up on a break, they hooked up with somebody in the city that I had flown to live with them and maybe not give me like a second to process what was going on.
Yeah.
Because I was across the country by myself.
Yeah.
Then we were getting closer to the date of school finishing. Yeah. They told me that they had no plans to move back to this location. Mm-hmm. So I had just wasted 9 months of my life across the country in some shithole.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Ottawa. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry to any Ottawa listeners.
Yeah.
Cute in the fall, though, I will say.
It is. I've seen pictures.
Absolute nightmare in the winter. Then I also found out that while we were still dating currently, they had Facebook messages with people saying that they were going to like hook up with them and
stuff.
All that stuff. And they had, that's just par for the course.
Exactly. That's just
and just like
little razzle dazzle
multiple
there.
Things like this.
Yeah.
Then we got back together because I'm a fucking idiot and it was my first love. Then
same,
they clearly
I did that
wanted
multiple
to
times.
Be with other people and tried to constantly convince me to have threesomes with people, even though I said I wasn't comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the one with the classic ring story, which is like so far back, but.
What ring story?
The ring that. They bought me a ring, and then I knew because they were a narcissist that that meant they wanted a ring.
Oh, so
I
yes.
I bought them a ring. Then they opened it, and the first thing they said is that I said, we can change it if you don't like what you say as just
a
nicety.
Nice thing to say.
Because a gift, a Tiffany ring should
probably
be good enough.
Yeah, totally.
They opened it and said, I don't like it. Then I returned ring with the credit card, but they found out which both rings that I bought were more expensive than the ring they bought me. They found out that the ring that they traded it for was cheaper than the ring that I had bought it for, and they wanted the ring and the difference in cash. Do you remember that story?
I do not remember the story, and my jaw just hit the fucking floor.
Yeah. Yeah.
They wanted the ring and the difference in cash.
When it should have just been like a return, no money was, you know, ever even. I guess they went online and figured out that it was cheaper, so they
and
asked for
the
difference in cash.
In
and I said, you
cash.
Are fucking insane. So that's my first love.
Also, no, Sean, I'm having like a mental breakdown
this is one of our first episodes.
The fact that I don't remember this is like. This is one of
diabolical.
The most psycho stories I've ever heard in
my
life.
Like, I think they're narcissists. No, they're narcissists.
Oh,
I know.
Okay, a similar situation. Not
shocking.
Not,
I don't trust men.
Absolutely shocking. No, that's literally psychotic.
My psyche loved that.
Okay. I had a situation like a year ago that I won't
with
say
Julia.
Who was. Okay. No, not with Julia. Well, Julia was the one purchasing something for somebody.
Okay.
I can't say what it is. I can't give too many details. But they purchased something for this person for them and their partner to go do as a gift.
Okay.
It was tickets to something. And the person said, thank you so much. But do you mind refunding one of the tickets? I'll get my partner to purchase their own and then just giving me the difference in cash. Yeah.
What is wrong with people?
What the fuck is wrong with people?
Literally. The best part of this whole thing is I was literally like 21, not making a ton of money.
No, you're scraping every penny together to do this.
A Tiffany's
ring. That's insane. That's too much money for me to spend on anything right now.
Literally.
Like, that's insane.
It was like hundreds of dollars, and he was like, oh, I want the difference. Psychotic.
No, like, what is wrong with people?
So I'm like, then I think this is my first relationship that I've, like, fully been attached to. And now I'm like, I don't like anybody.
Well, it makes sense.
It makes sense. Hey, Gabers. This episode is brought to you by Book of the Month. If you're a longtime Gaber, you know that I am far from a consistent reader. But Book of the Month just might change that. Book of the Month makes the process that I find daunting, finding a new book, fun and special, with new releases at the beginning of every month. I often find deciding on a title
overwhelming, but Book of the Month's team curates a list full of exciting options, often from new and upcoming authors. This month, I chose The Return of Ellie Black by Amiko Jean, which I'm really excited to dig into. I love a mystery thriller, and I love a twist. I was debating between this title and Middle Tide by Sarah Crouch, and honestly, it was the first time in years that I was having a battle of the books. So this month, get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com. That's PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com.
Yeah. You know what my thing is, though? I want to be a grown-up and acknowledge that as much as I do feel like my first love was very toxic and like the cheating and the lying and the hiding things and the people in her phone with emojis as their name instead mm-hmm. of their names, like it was just like constantly feeling unsafe and trying to read between the lines and all these things. I do also acknowledge that like my responses were so immature.
Right.
And like I was crazy in that relationship.
Yeah.
But I also think that like we talked about, like I was like 20 years old. I also like had no understanding of how to communicate. So I would just keep getting back with her and then I'd be bitter about things that I got. Like nowadays, if my partner did something and I broke up with them, I wouldn't get back together with them and then constantly throw it in their face.
Yeah.
Because I would be like, that's my choice to decide we've moved forward enough.
Totally.
And like, that's, I'm part of my happiness. I'm partially responsible for here. Like I'm making an informed decision to get back with someone who cheated on me.
Yeah.
And like, I have to be willing to either let those things go or not. And I most definitely didn't do that back then. So there's certain things that I definitely think my first love could say that would be like, she wasn't having fun either.
Yeah.
Neither of us were having a fucking good time.
Totally.
Like I turned into this like paranoid person, and while I could argue that was coming from a place of truth because, you know, I was like, you know, I was looking at every person she'd follow on Instagram and I was looking at every person, like I became fucking like a loony bin.
Totally.
So I do think that part of growth is while understanding where some of your trauma comes from and like people being shitty to you in relationships is also making the conscious decision to do better for yourself too. Right? Because I wasn't equipped with the tools to do that back then. I didn't have enough self-confidence. I was still coming out to a lot of people. So like this felt like my safe space. I was like, oh my God, if we break up, then I'm going to have to like find another gay person to date. And I'm going to have to like, it was like, no, it felt like so big. Right. Totally. And I was like, oh my God. And I think that I also, because I wasn't out to certain people, I'm sure that she felt that there was like shame around our relationship in some ways. I've been on the receiving end of that. I know it's really shitty. So like, you know, we're 10 years older. It is what it is. But I do think that when you're talking about carrying previous relationship trauma into future relationships, you can both acknowledge that you're 10 years older and you're sure that both of you have grown, while also acknowledging that at the time that sucked. And when you think of those traumas, you are transported back into that current reality of who that person was.
Yes. Also, I think I would say very forgiving.
Yes.
I am friends with a lot of my exes.
Yes.
I don't hold on to a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I would say a lot of things, especially in young relationships, my first few relationships can be chalked up to immaturity.
Yeah.
But some things like that, the ring thing?
No.
That's psychotic.
That's psychotic.
That's not immaturity. That is psychosis.
No, that literally is one of the, like, that's one of the worst things
and
I've ever heard.
I'm mature enough to know that if somebody did that to me,
you'd just cut
it
off
their tires. But true. The irony is, he can't drive.
No tires to slash. That's sad
so,
for him.
So, yeah. I do think first loves are... You touched on it briefly. Mm-hmm. I think first loves are so different for queer people though, because there's the added layer of if I, which isn't true,
it's but not true,
it's your first love, yep. and there's immaturity and there's delusion and there's all this stuff and there's heightened emotions and everything. There's this feeling that if I break up with this person, I'm never going to find a queer love again. I'm never going to find a gay person to love me ever again.
That's how it feels.
That's how it feels.
Yeah. Especially since I think that you spend, or I'll speak for myself, I was spending so much time thinking about either hiding who I was or dealing with accepting myself for who I was, or like how I was going to come out and when I was going to come out, that the extra process of also finding someone to date was so exhausting. I didn't have the capacity for it. So I think a lot of queer folks can relate to just dating the other gay person you know in your town or in your high school or the first person you meet, and not really deeply considering, is this the right person for me? Does this relationship actually feel good? Because you're just like, you're gay, I'm gay, we're gonna have to get through a lot of shit to do this. Are you ready to do it together? Let's
go. Do we have a genuine connection, or are you just gay and you live a block away?
And they did.
And that's always the question.
And they
that's
did.
The question I still struggle with.
And it just feels like, oh my God, such an extra hurdle that you're like, oh my God. And if we break up, then I think a part of me, honestly, there was this added like shame and embarrassment to the people that I had already come out to, because I almost used the person I was dating to come out. So I had been like, hey, I'm dating so-and-so, opposed to, hey, I'm a lesbian.
Yeah.
Because at this time, or for a certain portion of this time, I was still identifying as bisexual.
Right.
So I think part of the safety net for me was the hope that the public perception was, this person's just the exception to the rule.
Right.
I've just fallen in love with this person and I really like them. And I don't know that I was ready to face the, if we break up, I'm still going to want to date another girl.
And you're like, I'm going to have to set up a pattern.
We're going to have to keep
a pattern of action
being gay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going
to do the real gay shit.
Yeah. I'm not going to go back to a guy. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I
say the numbers are going to start adding up.
Yeah. So I think in my mind, it was like, I'm going to, even though I know you don't owe anyone that and everything else. But in my mind at the time, it was that I'm going to have another conversation that no, it just wasn't just this person and I'm not bisexual, and it's not just that I'm into dating men and women, because now I'm single, so I'm gonna have to clarify that actually, no, I don't want to date men at all.
Yeah.
And it will definitely be a woman that I date next.
For sure.
And that just seemed so over the top, even to myself. Mm-hmm. I was like, ah, oh my God, is it not just this person? Help. So I think that because this was my first like in-person real life relationship, it felt so heavy because of that. I've spoken before how I've had partners previous to that that weren't actually my girlfriend, were people that I hooked up with and we were both kind of like, oh, we're just experimenting. Or I had people from Tumblr that were my girlfriend, but like online. It felt like I was playing the fucking Sims.
You were paying, like Club Penguin.
But yeah, it felt like that. Yeah. Like in the same similar
Click
way.
Penguin. It's
like, exactly. It's like, I don't actually know this person or anything about their life, and they're like across the world, so this feels safe and comfy. Yeah, but you're my girlfriend. I'm putting you in my Tumblr bio. Like, you know. So this was the first real situation where the people in my real life, my friends, knew who this person was, knew I was dating them. It wasn't some online secret. It felt so heavy to let go of. So I was so willing to hang on, which in hindsight sucked. Like, it sucked for me. I'm sure they weren't having fun, like I said. And
well, they were fucking everybody, so they were probably
having
fun.
Yeah, they were having probably a pretty good, pretty all right
until
time.
The haircut. That ruined it all.
The haircut that ruined it all.
They hadn't cut their damn hair.
That's where I draw the line. You know, a bad haircut is
truly. I mean, and I would say some maturity and growth is that, like, I don't think I'm a perfect person to be in a relationship at all.
Exactly.
I will literally never say that. I'm not a perfect partner. Yeah. I never have been. I never will be.
Same.
But I would say I'm a pretty open communicator.
Yeah.
I have never cheated on somebody.
Yeah.
I haven't even gotten to something vaguely close to cheating on somebody, yeah. Nor would I. I'll say that, but maybe, you know.
I emotionally cheated on my boyfriend. We've talked about that before. But besides that.
Yeah. But
that was because I'm like, also.
Boo.
I mean, I'm also just gay. So yeah, it was so just like, I was trying to figure that out.
He was up against him.
I didn't
a
even
battle.
Realize I was emotionally cheating while I was emotionally cheating.
No, you were just talking to a hot woman.
I was just really just like gay panicking over a hot woman.
You were so naive.
Lost and confused. Help me. I'm gay.
But that would be my maturity. But I also, like I said, I panic about every single thing I say. So I would say I usually kind of overthink my actions.
Right.
Especially
right.
in a relationship. Mm-hmm. You know what I wouldn't do?
What?
Ask for the difference of a present. I can't believe you forgot about that.
I
guess only I remember that because.
No, I think that's something that I should remember. Like, that is so wild. That's like the most insane thing I've ever heard someone do. I just, it's so funny in my like 31 year old self trying to conceptualize like Julia giving me like a Christmas present.
Yeah.
And me being like, oh, shoot, you know what? It doesn't really fit. Can you return it for this one instead? And be like, but also it's. It's $27 difference, that sweater to that sweater. So could you also just write me a check?
For I do or an e-transfer.
E-transfer
or,
will do.
Yeah.
Cash.
I'll take the cash.
Could you imagine doing that?
I couldn't. No, I couldn't.
Like,
do you have no shame?
It's too much to handle. It's way too much to handle.
It's way too much, yeah.
My ex is engaged now. Good for them.
Good for her. Good for them. I don't know what they're... Okay.
I just say them. I don't know why. Sometimes I try and keep people mysterious of who I'm talking about when I'm talking about them. So I usually just say them. But we've already talked about that it was...
And blessings. Hope they're not an absolute fucking nightmare still. Also, hope they keep their hair the same.
They will not
or
be changing their
over.
Hair. The wedding is off.
Their wife says... On the wedding day,
they seem very happy. They
seem
cute
for the wedding day.
An inch off the ends, gone, done. Runaway bride.
I loved your split ends. How could you do this to me?
I loved your split ends.
How could you do this to me? This is another end that is splitting.
Can you imagine? Someone has to go up. Sorry, the wedding's off.
The wedding's off.
She got rid of the split ends.
Drops to their knees.
No,
not again.
Oh my god. I would love to know if that's their truth. I think that's...
Don't you wish, like, I mean, once again, besides the narcissism factor of some relationships, another relationship being like a full like sociopath, that was a good one. You probably forget that one too though. But wouldn't you love to be able to have like just a conversation and like really see like how people saw things?
Okay. The first thing I would do if I could like shapeshift.
Yes.
Okay. Is shapeshift is one of these people's best friends.
Okay.
And this is just me being
just
honest
like,
and toxic.
Remember Brie?
And just being like, remember Brie? Like, remind me, what happened with her? How do we feel about her? And just hear what they have to say. Because I would just love it. Genuinely.
Yeah.
Like, not even like I would be like, they're like disagreeing. So I would be fascinated because it doesn't affect my life.
No.
At this point. It's just, I'm so fascinated by the stamps we leave on other people's minds,
and
you know,
it's wild. I feel like there's gonna be some people listening to this and we're saying, I wish I could shapeshift and listen to how they feel about a relationship. There's gonna be people that are listening to this that are gonna be like, just
seek help.
Move on. Just move on. It was your first relationship. Move on. They've changed. You've changed. Move on. Bitch, I wish I could. That's the issue.
That's the issue.
This whole thing is about.
That's why like every issue I've had to unpack in therapy in regards to relationships is due to that.
And you can probably move on because you were figure A in what we described. You went the other way in the fork. So maybe look at your past relationships and who you fucked over.
Oh, you're fighting with them now. I love this heat.
People always say shit like that though.
Yeah, I know. And it's annoying. And I'm like, there is truth to like the first cut is the deepest. I think people misconstrued that to mean like, oh, your love is going to be only the deepest when you're first. I'm like, no, the way I interpret that is like the hurt is the most painful because you have not had heartbreak before.
Yes.
So you do not have the tools to process it in the way that you might now. Like now, if I went through heartbreak, would it be excruciating? Yes. Would I know that I will survive it? Yes.
Do I have the tools that I received from the first one? Yes.
Do I have the therapy for years that I've paid for that I could turn to? Yes. Whereas like the first cut is the deepest to me means like it's like it hurts the most because you just don't understand how anything can be that painful because you've never related to emotional heartbreak like that before. It's
the most jarring.
It's so scary because it comes out of nowhere. You're like, how do I feel this way? Oh my God.
Yeah.
And it just like it sticks with you and it is traumatic. So especially with queer love, I do think that there's like this added dynamic that we spoke about where it feels very scary because you kind of risked it all for this person in a way, in the sense of like finally taking that leap of faith that yes, you are even willing to be in a same-sex relationship, mm-hmm. that is who you are, that's something that you want, maybe admitting to family or friends that's who you are. Like it's a lot yeah. that you've gone through with this person, that you've in your mind done for this person, the growth that you've found with your own identity by like being interested in that person, liking that person, loving that person. Like it's a lot. And then when it ends, you're like, holy fuck, like now it's just me again. What? It's a lot. And it sucks.
Yeah.
And I genuinely would be lying if I say like if I ran into this person now that I wouldn't have like a visceral gut reaction.
Oh, for sure.
Because it's so much to unpack. It's like going back to like your inner child in a way. Yeah. And when people talk about trauma that happened to them when they were five, and it's like, okay, well, that's not happening to you anymore. It's like, yeah, but if you ran into that person that trauma happened with, you'd probably feel some type of way about it. Yeah. It's just, it's a big life-changing moment yeah. in your life. So to anyone out there dealing with the heartbreak of first love, no, you're not alone. It literally can feel like you're dying, but you will get through it and you will survive.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But also don't feel like a weirdo for feeling some type of way about it.
No, absolutely not.
It's just the truth. All right. Well, wherever you're listening, make sure to follow, subscribe. Rate us 5 stars. 5 stars only. Jesus Christ. I don't know what else we got to do. You know what? It's almost slippery season. Just saying. Falls around the bend.
Those roads are going to get frosty real quick.
Just saying.
Sidewalks are going to need salting.
Keep that in mind.
Little nanas out there.
Slipping and sliding. Mistakes and accidents happen.
Icicles.
Just make sure to follow us on Instagram at I Can Explain Podcast. If you want these episodes on video, they are all available on our Patreon. Thank you so much to our Patreons for supporting this podcast. And until next time, we will see you around the Gayborhood.